Did you know that there are multiple judgments talked about in the Bible? Find out more about this and much more in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. I'm so glad that you've tuned in because we're currently in a series that I'm personally very excited about. The reason I'm excited about it is because the current series is based on a book that I wrote called Eternal Rewards. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar gave me the great opportunity to sit down with them and discuss the content in this book. Why don't you listen in as we discuss eternal rewards? Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we are in the studio with Lucas Kitchen, and we're going through a series about eternal rewards based on Lucas's new book, Eternal Rewards, It Will Pay to Obey. It's available at our bookstore now at faithalone.org.
Did you know that rhyme, Sean?
It does. I know you love things that rhyme.
Obey to obey.
It will
obey.
Pay to obey. Easy to remember.
Pay
easy
obey.
To remember,
okay,
right?
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's why hymns and songs are so important, because that's how people learn their theology.
It's
when things rhyme, it's just easy to remember. So Eternal Rewards, It Will Pay to Obey, available now. And I think we're going to probably get a free ebook of all or at least part of this book available at our website. So go to faithalone.org on the ebooks, and I'm sure you'll find something there. So today we're going to talk about two judgments. All right. I don't know if you've ever seen, if you're a fan of art, I love art. Sports I'm not so crazy about, but art I love. And if you've ever been in the Sistine Chapel, one of the most famous paintings in the world is Michelangelo's The Last Judgment. Mm. And for a long, long time, Christians thought there was only going to be one judgment at the very end of time. That's going to decide whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell based on how well you've lived your life. We're here to tell you that that is completely, completely wrong.
However, sadly, that's not just something from the past history of the church. There are many evangelical theologians today who teach that the judgment seat of Christ is another name for the great white throne judgment.
Now, that you just used two very fancy terms there. And so for people who don't know what we're talking about, repeat those terms and explain to us what they are.
Well, the judgment seat of Christ is for believers to determine our eternal rewards, and the great white throne judgment is for unbelievers to determine their degree of eternal torment.
So you're telling me that there's more than one judgment in Scripture?
Yes, and they're separated by 1,000 years, too.
You talk about this in your book, Lucas?
Yeah, you know, it seems to me one of the ways that we can establish that there must be more than one is because Jesus specifically says that for believers, there is a judgment they get to skip. They get to be absent from, which we'll be very glad to be. And a verse, and quickly has become one of my favorite verses, I think, is in John 5:24. This is Jesus speaking to a pretty hot crowd. He's in kind of the middle of a controversy with the Jewish leaders, and he utters this line. It'd be easy to miss it, but it's a really important line. He says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." We see three things there. There's a past, a present, and a future. And what's interesting to me on this subject is what he says about our future. If we've believed, for those who've believed, they will not come into judgment. We will get to be absent, or at least not take part in being judged on the day that Bob was talking about, the white throne judgment.
What I really find interesting about this passage is Jesus is hinting at what kind of judgment we're never going to come under.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. He says, if we believe, we have everlasting life.
And we've passed from death into everlasting life.
Right. So again, we're talking about everlasting. And then when he says, and shall not come into judgment, will not come into judgment about what?
Concerning everlasting life.
About what
life.
He's just talking
right.
about, everlasting life.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Did you know that if you believe in Jesus, your fate is sealed? You are eternally secure. If you believed in Jesus for that free gift of eternal life, you never need to worry about where you're going to go when you die. You're going to be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. You've already passed out of judgment the moment you believed in Jesus for your eternal destiny. A lot of religious systems, a lot of churches, a lot of denominations are all built on developing this sense of insecurity in the person. They get you to obey by making you unsure about your eternal destiny. And they give you to-do lists to make sure that you're one of the saved. Biblical religion is not about that.
I was one of four authors in a book called Four Views. Thank you, Sean. Four Views on the Role of Works at the Final Judgment. Mm. And it was by Zondervan. The other three represented Catholicism, Anglicanism and also Calvinism. Hmm. And I mentioned Lucas, John 5:24 in my article, and I said, this proves we're not going to come into judgment concerning our eternal destiny. Did you know that all three of them rejected that argument?
Wow.
All three of them said that the Great White Throne Judgment is another name for the judgment seat of Christ, or the other way around. There's only one judgment, one eschatological final judgment, and we're going to be judged to determine our eternal destiny. In contradiction to John 5:24.
All right, so John 5:24 says we don't come under this judgment, but Lucas, what evidence is there that there is a judgment for believers, just not for eternal life?
Great question. Well, you know, I think there's anecdotal evidence for a lot of people that support what Bob's talking about. I heard of a young lady recently whose dad cornered her. Now, she's a believer, but her dad cornered her and said, when you stand before the pearly gates and the judgment of God, what would you say to him for him to let you in? And my initial thought was, it's already done by then. You know, whatever you say doesn't even matter, because what mattered was that you believe. But here's the difficulty, and this is, I think, where people get confused, is what Paul says in Romans 14:10. He says, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And so what we find is these two parallel lines in Scripture, where one says we will not be judged, the other says we will be judged.
Right. So that's what we would say is an apparent contradiction. It looks like a contradiction. And so we need to figure out, is Jesus contradicting Paul? Is Paul contradicting Jesus? What's the way to harmonize these two verses?
Well, the we all would refer to all believers, as opposed to unbelievers. And by the way, some of the manuscripts, as you know, in Romans 14:10 read judgment seat of God. Most read judgment seat of Christ, and I agree with you. I think it should say judgment seat of Christ, because the majority of manuscripts have that. But either way, everybody agrees that that's what this is talking about. Same thing as I think we're going to look at 2 Corinthians 5:10 as well.
Here's what Paul says there. He says, we make it our aim to be well-pleasing to him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad.
Interesting. So here again, here's another reference to a judgment believers are going to appear at. What kind of judgment is this? Jesus said we're not going to come under judgment, at least for our eternal life. So what kind of judgment is this?
What's interesting to me, the last line there gives us kind of the nature of what this judgment is. He says that we're going to receive something for whether or not we've done good or bad.
Oh, interesting.
Boy,
that
would totally contradict the idea that we believe and receive a free gift.
So we're not being judged for what we believe there. We're being judged for what we've done.
And remember, in Galatians, Paul says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Well, if that's true, then that's not only true in this life, but that's true after this life. And so what we do in this life, we're going to reap consequences for it. And that's true for the believer or the unbeliever, but two separate judgments.
What we're seeing here is there is a judgment called the judgment seat of Christ that believers are going to appear at, and they're going to be evaluated according to what they've done, whether good or bad.
I think we could continue to develop it with verses like Matthew 16:27, where it says, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each, notice what it says there, according to his works. Once again, this is something that happens after Jesus returns. So we're not talking about only being rewarded in this life. Certainly there's reward for following Christ in the here and now, but we are without question talking about something that will happen after this life, after Christ has returned.
All the verses where Jesus says, if you believe, you get eternal life. If you believe, you get eternal life. If you believe in me, you get everlasting life. But this is reward according to works, straight up. There is a reward according to works.
Right.
And this is part of this idea that you argue in your book, Lucas, that this is a major theme of Scripture, not just of Scripture, but of Jesus' teaching himself. And this is, that would be an example of that.
Yeah, and in fact, the Bible really doesn't make sense if you don't have a place for eternal rewards, because you can't fit all these texts together.
Right.
And the Bible ends up being a big mishmash.
One phrase that I think helps us understand what will happen there actually appears back in the Romans 14 passage. It comes a verse or two later. He says, so then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. And in the context, we're talking about this judgment seat. It's interesting to think that we are going to have to speak for how we lived, whether or not we did good works as believers. A lot of people feel like it's all just wiped clean and we don't ever have to talk about it. We're going to have to talk about the choices that we made as believers in this life.
Well, there's one last passage I think we should go through before we end this episode. That comes to us in 1 Corinthians 3:11 to 15. I'll read it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear. So remember, Jesus said he's going to reward people according to their work. So Paul's talking about the same thing.
Right.
For each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Paul is picturing a time when we have works that are like precious stones. Those are the works that are rewardable. Then you have these other works that are wood, hay, and those aren't sins, because sins aren't brought up here. Those are kind of just like, you know, you decided to binge watch Lost or something like that. You didn't do something that was necessarily sinful, but it wasn't rewardable, so it gets burned up. So that is what an interesting picture. How could anyone think that this judgment, which is of believers for their works, is the same as this last judgment that appears at the end of time? This is just a very different judgment. How could you confuse the two?
And I think the last line there is really amazing to me, that they will be saved, yet so as through fire. And so it's a reminder that no matter whether or not we live in a way that will garner rewards, our salvation is not in question here. Our eternal life is established. It's a guarantee. It's a promise. It's based on faith. And it's an amazing thing to think that we can go beyond that.
Well, thanks again for being with us, Lucas, and we're so excited to continue this series. If you're interested in learning more about eternal rewards, be sure to go to our website and pick up a copy of Lucas's book, Eternal Rewards, It Pays to Obey, available now.
A big thank you to Sean and Bob for letting me sit in on that great discussion. That was a lot of fun. Now, I'd like to tell you how to get your own copy of this book that we're discussing. You can go to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. You can click on the button that says Store. And in the store, you can find a copy of Eternal Rewards. In addition to this, we have many other books by many great authors, and I hope you'll take advantage of all of the resources we have there. And by the way, while you're on the website, I'd suggest taking advantage of our many free resources. You can get a subscription to this podcast. You can get a subscription to our free print magazine. You can get a subscription to our daily blog posts. This and much more is completely free right there on faithalone.org. Now, you may love what we're doing so much that you want to become a financial partner. And if that's the case, we would very much appreciate it. You can find out how to do that and much more right on the website, faithalone.org. Now, I'd like to give you our email address because we love to hear from listeners. It's radio@faithalone.org. I hope you'll reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. Well, next time on the program, we're going to investigate the parable of the minas. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.